The Kinky Cocktail Hour is brought to you by Motor Bunny, the world's most powerful saddle-style vibrator that offers fabulous creative sexual experiences. We use it and it rotates, it vibrates, and it delivers mind-blowing orgasms. Enjoy Motor Bunny as your favorite sex toy. When you order the Motor Bunny, multiple attachments are included along with the Link controller, which allows wireless control from anywhere. Motor Bunny is the world's most powerful saddle-style vibrator on Earth. Use the link in the show notes and spice up your sex life with a Motor Bunny. You're listening to Kinky Cocktail Hour, a conversation between adults about sex-forward relationships, kinky lifestyles, and frank communication. If you're under 18, please stop listening and visit scarletteen.com. Hi, this is Lady Petra.
I'm Safa Master.
And this is Kinky Cocktail Hour.
Cheers.
Cheers. Hi, I'm Lady Petra, and my pronouns are she, her, and hers.
And I'm Safa Master, and my pronouns are his, him, and he. So, what are we drinking today?
We are having a repeat performance of the Aberfeldy.
Okay.
Highland Single Malt Scotch Whiskey. It's a 12-year scotch, and we're just going to enjoy it before our podcast.
I'm going to go straight to a drop of water.
Yeah, I think so, too.
It's a beautiful nose, this, doesn't it?
It's really pretty color.
Yeah.
It's very golden. Yeah. It's a good scotch.
It's a well-rounded scotch, this one. It's got a really full note about it. And yeah. It's got a nice long finish.
Yeah.
But it leaves the mouth gleeking. It's like a very...
I'm very gleeky in the back.
Yeah. It's a very positive...
You know, they make a big deal about this one because the river that they get the water from it was a gold mining river. So,
oh, I see.
So the idea is, you know, the scotch is really gold-looking because of that. I mean, that's what they like to draw upon that. But
yeah, probably not, though.
Probably not. No, of course not. But super smooth. And again, this is the one that warms in the back of the throat. And it's I like this whiskey a lot.
Yeah.
And this, you know, this distillery has been around since 1846. So
wow.
It's been around for a while. So
love it.
Okay. I'm on. I'm ready for the podcast.
I'm excited about this interview we're doing this afternoon. We have Marisa Sullivan, who is a healer and works with a whole bunch of different body work and sex work strategies. And I'm going to invite Marisa to share with us a little bit about your background and sort of what brings you to this conversation about tantric sex that we're going to have this afternoon.
All right. Well, thank you for inviting me to this conversation.
Yeah.
It's important that we talk about sex.
I agree.
Yeah. So I come to this work as knowing and feeling that we can have so much more pleasure than we think. And the more that we investigate our own bodies and what we want and learn about our bodies, the more pleasure we can have.
Yeah.
And that it's incredible medicine.
Yeah, I think we both agree with that.
Yeah, totally, totally.
Yeah.
So you've got experience as a yoga therapist and a tantrica and a sex educator and a Reiki master and so on. So talk to us about sort of your journey to be able to introduce us to tantric practice.
So what happened when I was... About when I was from early 20s through my 20s, I was intensely practicing yoga. I came to it because I had back problems and I was a dancer. And edging up to my 30s, all of a sudden I thought, wow, sex is amazing. What is this? And I started to question, why was I having such great sex? And so part of it was that I really was present.
Sure.
There was a lot of dissociation from my trauma that I wasn't even there. You know, once I was having sex, somebody was there, but I wasn't actually there. I wasn't present. Yeah. So the process that yoga led me to really be in my body,
yeah,
to be present and to feel my hand is against this mat and I'm there. So that was huge, to be present.
Yeah.
And then I really felt, oh yeah, this thing about breath, I'm breathing all the way down. I am breathing, and we're playing with these bandhas, we're playing with our pelvic floor, we're breathing all the way down, which I now know is the pelvic diaphragm, and that the pelvic floor is deeply connected to all the genitalia. But I recognized that I had all this, I was going all the way down and giving a lot of blood and a lot of energy to my pelvis, and that breath was very crucial. So I felt that, and then I felt this idea that my body was one whole entity and nothing was separate from anything else. So that my little pinky could have as much eroticism as anything else.
Okay.
And moving through me, my entirety. So that was going on, and I really felt honored by this yoga practice. And then I wanted to learn more. So I started first studying, oh, there's this sacred thing. There's this thing called Tantra. And it was this neo-Tantra quality that I was looking at that was rooted back in an ancient practice. And what really hit me was that my genitalia is sacred.
Okay.
That there are altars. That there are pussy altars.
Mm-hmm.
And people bow down to pussies.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
And they bow down to them. And the juice that comes from them is sacred, and we honor it. And a wowness. So that was a major, and that it was divine, that it was honored. And that was a huge piece for me in lifting shame and trauma.
Okay.
And the same for lingams, the same for penises, that they're honored, you know. But
right.
I was concerned about my
right. Yummy. Whatever junk you have is honored.
Yeah. So, and then from there, I started studying the female anatomy, the female genital anatomy, and I was just blown away by how magically we're made. And the more I looked at it, the more pleasure I was having. Became very interested in female ejaculation and the importance of the G-spot and the medicine of the G-spot to do so much care for the whole vaginal system. And that my feeling as I study it, and as I studied it then, was that female ejaculation was trained out of women.
Oh, interesting.
I bet you it was. I believe that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you feel that too?
Yeah, no, I think it's a shame. It isn't for me now, but there's a bit of shame always attached to that.
Yeah, yeah. And I, you know, through the years now, I come across women like, oh, that happened to me. And then I thought, what the hell is that? And I shut it down.
Yeah.
So nobody talks about it. Nobody, you know, now we're talking about it more, but.
Right.
And it's antimicrobial. It's antibacterial. I now know it has a lot of functions. So I became very interested and I wanted to learn how to do this. And so that became a pursuit and something that I wanted to teach women. And I did that. The final sort of layer, I think, in there is that, that I start to study just the pelvic floor and pelvic floor health. And how our musculature could be too tense. Most of the time it's too tense, but this hypertonic, hypotonic balance of our musculature, and then how to work with that musculature, creating a strong PC muscle, but also having a PC muscle that can release so that you have all this orgasmic potential.
Mm-hmm.
It goes on, because I keep studying. I love studying. So most recently, I've been studying with Betty Martin, and I've been working with the idea of the four quadrants of touch and really tuning in, how do I want to be touched? How do I want to touch someone? And very in the moment, and to feel how it is we want to be touched, and for whose pleasure is that? Like, I want you to touch me this way for my pleasure, or how do you want to touch me that you're going to have pleasure from me? And mm-hmm. what pleasure is it for? And talking about it. And I'm so amazed at the orgasmic possibility of, take your hand down my upper arm right now. Yeah. Okay. And just tuning into the moment of what we want and how powerful that is.
Mm-hmm.
And so bring that back to the practice of tantric breathing, mm-hmm. tantric sex. So speak more directly about that.
So back when in that investigation, I found out there was this idea of tantra. And the true tantra is not only about sex. It really was. It was this moment in yoga where the spirituality had become very dry. And you were an ascetic. You went off to the mountains. You didn't eat. You negated your body. And it was very cerebral. And so at that moment, there was this, the villagers and the tribal people, like, we want to have sacredness too. And why can't what we eat be sacred? Why we could eat and we have these senses in our mouth that taste is delicious. So let's have our food be sacred. Let's have our raising our children be sacred. Let's have making money be sacred. And let's have sex be sacred. Let's have the mundane, every part of our life be elevated if we pay attention to it and make it sacred, that it's all sacred. Mm-hmm. So that there's a broader expanse of what is tantra. Mm-hmm. Like, looking at the whole world as sacred and our whole lives as sacred.
Sure.
And then from that, there's this extrapolation of sex that has a sacredness.
Now, I understand that, at least in my limited experience, that in the context of tantric sex, that it's sourced in breathing. Is that accurate?
Breath is huge. Breath is huge. I mean, breath is, it's our life force. And if sexual, everything's vibration. So this breath is moving through you. Vibration is moving through you. So being able to conduct all the vibration, which we call energy often.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So breath is one form of energy. It's you know, a very important one. And then there's also, where is our energy? That was a big piece actually for ejaculation, that in noticing the different vibrational qualities of different kinds of orgasms, it's almost like different musical instruments. There's like, you know, the clitoral orgasm is like this ring, and then a G-spot orgasm has a like, oh, boom, and it's aponic energy. So clitoral has a moving up energy. Ejaculation has a downward release. That deep cervical orgasm that's like way at the back, that's a different, deeper energy. So without breath, I mean, there's no life force. And you can
Do you experience, I'm only going from our own experience, because we feel like we're moving into an energy place of sex now because we're so connected. Like, we actually feel in a scene, energy, like colors, like energy. Usually there's music playing, so we've got lots of senses being stimulated. But like, let's say I'm being flogged or something, and there's a point where it's energetic. Like, I never feel the flog leave me. I feel it like it's like a spider web, like it's attached to me, and it swings out with color and then comes back and then swings out. And I swear, I can't see him from behind me, but he expresses similar feelings in those moments. Are we moving into tantra? I mean, I know it's subspace at some point, but you know what I mean?
Well, we want to talk about tantra, but in a way, what you're talking about makes me think of something else, And I wonder if we could if it could circle back into Tantra.
Sure.
I mean, Tantra, one thing about Tantra is awakening all your senses. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we could hook that in. You're awakening all your senses. So you're waking up your skin. You're waking up that blood that comes with a flog, and you're really in
yes.
tons of sensation.
Well, and I feel like I'm extremely present. When you said that at the beginning of the podcast, that's like exactly describes our sex, is that there's no distraction. You're not thinking about going shopping at the store or is yeah, laundry out of the dryer. There's nothing else happening. You're only in that moment. But I can say in other times of my life, I have had sex where I was like, I don't know, doing my to-do list in my head, you know? But yeah. this is different. So that presence is key.
Yeah, that presence is key. The breath is only in the present. So the breath is such a doorway to many places. A place it's a great doorway to is being present.
Mm-hmm.
That inhale right now, that exhale right now, that's going to bring you present.
Does it matter the speed? I mean, because depending on what we're doing, I am obviously breathing, mm-hmm. But I breathe differently with different stuff.
Yeah, and we could use the breath. We could increase. So a lot of Tantra is about, and a lot of everyone, we always have to slow down.
Yeah.
Slowing down, right? What is the average person has, what, like 6 minute sex, lovemaking? No,
no, that's not our sex.
That's 6 minutes of pleasure. You know, why not?
Yeah, no, that's not even on our dance card.
No. So we definitely want longer. That's going to take more energy. That's going to take more breath. We can use the breath to slow down or speed up. You know, say something's right there and you really want to speed it up. There is a or slowing down. So knowing yes. what you can do to your breath to shift energy, say you've got too much sensation. How do we dissipate the sensation so that we could pull back and then be able to have more?
Mm-hmm.
Use the breath. But all of our senses, using your visual, using your auditory, hearing, making sound.
Oh, yeah. I make all kinds of sounds.
Right?
I speak in tongues.
Yeah.
I know where that comes from. I really can't even just, I can't stop myself. There's a point where the stimulation is so orgasmic. I'm speaking something. I don't know what I'm speaking, but I'm babbling.
Uh-huh.
And it always happens. I mean, like he can attest to it. It always happens. I just don't, and I don't know where it's coming from. It sounds like it's ancient or something from it, because I am American Indian, so it sounds like it could be coming from something else. However, it isn't discernible. It's weird. But I go with it. I don't try to judge it. I just go with it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I guess what I'm curious about is, you know, you have a practice of providing couples tantric sex advice or counseling or individuals. So how would you say a couple listening to this conversation might take the next step in developing a tantric practice themselves?
It's funny. So many things that, I mean, all of my work that I do with couples is non-genital touch
mm-hmm.
and clothed.
Okay.
That's what I do with people. There's plenty of people that also will help couples with touch and work with them. I don't do that. I do teach the anatomy, and I mm-hmm. teach breath tools. In a way, it's presence with yourself. It's mm-hmm. it's intimacy. It's intimacy with oneself and being in the moment with someone else.
So, well, do you find that it's important that someone learns how to touch themselves? Because let's be honest, with women especially, that yeah. is, that you know, just the average vanilla out there, touching themselves is kind of one of those taboo shame things. We all do it, but the reality is it's less looked upon. Men, from being very, you know, women do too when they're real little toddlers, all are touching themselves. But if you watch how toddlers touch themselves, as little boys are touching themselves, they go, oh, okay, Johnny, not in public. But they don't, it's not shamed. It's just like, don't do it in public. But if a little girl does it, oh, no, you shouldn't be doing that. You shouldn't be doing that. And it's a total different message for women. And so I just wonder if sometimes, like, women don't even know their own bodies to know how to touch themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. This is, it's a huge thing that I teach the women I work with, too. And so the word to masturbate means from the Latin to pollute with one's hand.
Hmm. Pollute.
Pollute with one's hand. So I don't use that word. I call
right. It's a terrible word.
Terrible word. So self-pleasuring, self-loving. And I really teach you not, I'm not a big fan of powerful vibrators, because I feel it's not bringing the touch down into where exactly do you want to be touched, in rhythms and exploration, and again the slowing down. So I'm not that I'm against tools or absolutely love them, but just big powerful vibrators I feel like those have to a lot of times go away. And how do we make love to ourselves? How do you, including, and so much of it is taking time to not go straight to the genitalia. You know, that's where so much of the, in a way, all the S&M practices and all that of this heightening sensation that we're, it's not just about the genitalia, taking the time to be all everywhere. So by the time you get to the jelly genitalia, you're like, yeah, please.
We were talking about that the other day, because touch and just an extended foreplay, even if it's mental, is the buildup to a time when you are singing together or what have you, that leads to those exceptional sessions versus just looking across, okay, we're just going to jump in the sack. You know what I mean? It's just, it builds.
And all those other things, even to, you know, the total tease and play and romance, even if you're not, you know, the moments of just looking and wanting and sharing music, sharing food, any time that maybe you were physically doing something in your body together earlier in the day or before, so that you're both in your bodies in this great way.
Well, that's what I think has given us access, is because we have not just a dynamic, but a relationship. And it's brought us closer and allowed us to be more and more trusting and vulnerable in any type of moment. So therefore, you get more fully self-expressed versus like judgments and like, should I do this or should I not do this? Or, you know, those kinds of things. But there's no concern of that. It's just this complete, you know, singing. It's wonderful.
Yeah. Back to being in the moment, being in the here and now. So that's, you know, a yoga drop into the here and now and being whole. So what is it?
So you still haven't answered.
Go ahead.
You still haven't answered my question, though.
I was just gonna say.
Okay.
So what kind of things do I do with couples? I let the get them listening to each other's breathing. Just lay on the floor, really simple. Lay on the floor, put a hand on each other's belly. Feel your own breath, feel your partner's breath. Feel this desire to want to make them the same. Are they individual? Do they harmonize and become the same? Listening to each other's breath. Just listening to it in that stillness is going to ripple out into listening to each other's breath as a communication form in lovemaking. They're very tantric to talk about eye gazing. So, and I definitely teach eye gazing. I don't get into it in the kind of deep, you know, deep tantric practice, like you have to look at each other for whatever, these long amounts of times, but to get dropping in and looking into each other's eyes. And I normally it's gonna look into each other's left eye, but sitting there and being together.
That's key, because when we had our coloring ceremony, one of the things he did before we were colored was I was sitting in position, and we just sat and looked at each other for a long time, and we're just being with one another in the moment, not rushing the ceremony, not rushing to get things done, but just being with one another. And that was probably, of everything, that was the most powerful moment we experienced.
Yeah, absolutely. Dropping into that, looking and seeing. Yeah. And yeah, another thing I like to practice, and honestly, I call my class a tantric date night, but I'm pulling my exercises not just from traditional tantra at all. A lot of my exercises come from my acting background.
Oh, okay.
And how to be present with another person on the stage and be honest and intimate. Mm-hmm. And they really apply to presence with each other. But there's this classic tantric idea that you would take your sexual energy and you would bring it up to your heart and you could pray with it. And so this is definitely something I work with and teach, that we can take our sexual energy and we take our love for ourselves first, mm-hmm. each other. And when we love ourselves, then we can really, only when we really feel that self-love can we let somebody else love us and receive it.
Mm-hmm.
Taking that love energy and moving that up then into a prayer, a vision, for whatever, world peace. You want all beings to have love, and having that be a magical prayer energy. So that's a very tantric energy exercise. So I do work with couples of doing loving kindness meditation for each other,
mm-hmm.
giving that and receiving it. So how do you have your heart open? How do you stay present with your heart? You know, and so beautiful, you know, we can have love orgasms, right? We can just, you have these that are more pouring out from your heart. You could think about everyone having love. You could be in that expansive of wanting that for everyone, and that could be explosive. So that's a practice, just being in that whole channel and really opening up the presence of love.
Fascinating.
Yeah. Seeing each other, I love to have, so I have couples of just take and look at each other, and not eye gazing, but gaze and notice those little crooks and crannies in your honey that you just love. Follow those lines, not feel like you could drop into them. Awakening the senses still, so smelling each other and really smelling each other like you're looking for good meat. Like, and if you do that, like you're looking, it's like you're on the prowl.
Well, I must be on the prowl all the time because he smells like sugar cookies all the time. I'm always like sniffing him, going, oh my God, he's so edible.
It sounds a lot like your guidance to people sort of comes from a place of just like a broader sense of connecting with the universe as a whole, rather than just being like stuck in your space, you know, like connecting to the bigger energy that's out there. It's what it sounds like. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but that's what I'm picking up from what you're speaking into.
Mm-hmm. My personal thing, and it's in charge. Well, so I'll tell you, we're going to get cut off. So I have received a tantric initiation in what's called Sri Vidya from a woman from India. It was a magical, magical story. And so she did a yoni puja on me, which is a worship. So this is a traditional tantric that she worshipped me as the goddess.
Okay.
And she did touch my clitoris, touch my nipples, and say mantras and move my energy. And she was opening my channel.
Mm-hmm.
I had this ritual initiation. After I had that ritual initiation, beautiful things happened in my life. Things dropped into place. Things were easy. there was a lot of effort dropped away, and I would have these really ecstatic experiences of just walking through the subway and loving everybody. So yes, there was an open, there's a cosmic opening to the universe, but it comes from the inside out.
That's amazing.
And so your advice to both men and women who are potentially listening to this conversation, to encourage them to fully explore their sexual experience of themselves, would be to do what steps?
Slow down. Enjoy your body. Move in ways that make you happy. Notice what foods you eat that make you happy. Notice your pleasure. Oh, honor your senses. Love yourself in all sorts of ways. Take good care of yourself. Tune into pleasure all the time. The pleasure of hard work too, like the pleasure of moving your body. Slow down again. Slow down. Big time. And notice like that sex isn't separate. And your sexual energy isn't separate. So it's not like beeline. It's this, I could be sexual. I could feel my sensuality. So noticing your sensuality in looking at the sky. Looking at the sky. And definitely, definitely learn about your anatomy.
Gotcha. Super, super.
Yeah.
And would you recommend that people consider maybe yoga practice or some other practice to get sort of present to their breathing? And
yeah, get present to your breathing. But I think it's important to like whatever it is you're doing. So there's not just yoga, if yoga works for you, but I use dance a lot. I mean, I do come from a yoga background, but also dancing, Qigong, Tai Chi, but maybe it's horseback riding. But it does have to be embodied. There has to be a delight in it and a connection and something that connects you to your breath. So if your physicality is running, then maybe you want to do something to feel your breath.
So something that raises your respirations, that like lets you get present to that you're breathing.
And knowing, it's honestly, pelvic floor. You've got a diaphragm and you've got a pelvic floor diaphragm.
Yeah.
And being able to access the very bottom of your breath and being able to access your full inhale that drops open and your full exhale that comes up.
So does that mean belly breathing all the way through to the belly breathing?
It is from belly breathing and it's the bottom of the belly breathing. So it's belly breathing a little lower.
And as an athlete, I deep belly breathe. So I get that. Whenever they told me, no, just breathe from your lungs, I'm like, I'm going to suffocate if I breathe from my lungs. I have to belly breathe.
Yeah.
And I just have to do it. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And that's fascinating.
And being okay that we need teachers,
Yeah.
Being okay. There's books, there's teachers, and maybe it's not one book. What book is it that speaks to you? If you're going to be good at anything, if you're going to learn how to fix a car, you're going to really study it and go from different directions. It's the same thing. And you might read one book and I sort of get it. But then you read this other book. And then by the third book, you're like, okay. My mind's getting blown.
Yeah. So it sounds like you're saying let the intensity build. I think I heard you speak to synchronize your breathing. Being in communication with your partner so that maybe your breathing is like synchronized, and then having an intention to have really slow down and prolonged sexual encounters that really get you present to a much fuller experience of your power as a sexual creature.
Yeah, and your breath doesn't always have to be synchronized. It could be reading the breath.
Reading the breath.
Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough.
Reading the breath. And then learning from it. Okay. And keep not keep opening and keep expanding. That's what Tantra means, the web, the expansion of the web. So keep expanding what's possible. And in that could, that's also just simple. Doesn't mean we need, I always hear these couples are like, we need a third person. We need to bring in another couple. No, you need to feel more of your own body. So
it sounds like you're saying that if you start with your own body and you are really present to your own experience, that gives you access to something that lets you sort of enhance somebody else's experience differently than if you're not really present in your own experience.
Yeah, absolutely. Wow. But with that, I would not shame anybody who, like, they're all about just giving someone else, you know, they're faking. That's their thing. So if we're talking about expanding this couple's connection and between each other, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now with a few minutes we have left, do you do work with kinksters, with kinky couples, and you know, couples who are maybe seeking counseling about their sexuality?
Absolutely. I mean, I have no, there, you know, there's no, we kink, like, it's all whatever's authentic, right? So yes, absolutely, I work with all different, everybody, and it, again, I just talk, you know, and talk, and in that talk and in various exercises of contacting your pelvic floor, contacting your breath, opening up to imagery, then who knows what's going to happen. And sometimes there's health, you know, health issues. Sometimes there's a tight pelvic floor. Sometimes there's a, you know, men, absolutely, women too. Getting your pelvic floor healthy is very important.
Gotcha. Okay. Anything else from you, Lady Petra?
Oh, no, I think it's great. Thank you for being on. We really appreciate it. And look forward to hooking up with you again on some maybe minute area topic as we come forward. This has opened a huge world for us on just ideas. So thank you.
Right. And there is something, and I have been needing to investigate it. There's now been this unfolding of something, I think it's called Black Tantra, but basically there's like a neo-tantric that is about, that's an S&M.
Oh, okay.
That exists.
All right.
It's a breakoff, but everything I'm doing applies whatever you're doing.
Yeah. Good.
Okay. Great.
Great. Well, thank you so much for coming on. Really appreciate it. And I'll send you a link when we're all up. And if you have any things that you're open to sending us to support your practice, then feel free to do that, and we'll publish that with the podcast notes. Okay.
All right. And you can let people know I have a website that's Marisa Sullivan Healing, and I'm on Instagram, Marisa Sullivan 1.
Awesome.
And I'm here.
Great, Marisa. Well, thank you so much. You have a great evening.
Have lots of fun and pleasure, and love your bodies.
Thank you.
Bye.
That's it for today. You can find us on your favorite podcast directory. We also have an RSS feed. If you're interested in online coaching for kinksters or online domination, you can visit our Patreon website at Lady Petra Playground. And if you're having comments or suggestions or drink ideas for our podcast, you can email me at ladypetraplayground@gmail.com.
That's it.
Cheers.